only time I was confident in that time was when I'm on a skateboard.
That's how I felt about rapping. Mm-hmm. Even back then, when I was 17, I was like, I rap.
Yeah, that's the only time you're in your bag where you're just like, nobody's f***ing me.
When do you feel you found yourself in your bag as a man, as a human being?
I have a lot of evolving to do. I've recently realized that I've been doing what I've been doing since I was 12 years old, and I'm a 38-year-old man still doing it. I have a lot of 12-year-old tendencies that are still in me. First thing I need to do before I go anywhere in the next part of life is like evolve as an adult, as a man, and become a person internally that I want to be before I can be the person external that I want to be.
What's up, guys? It's Logic.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
What's up, guys? It's Logic. Are you all hear me? Is this what you want?
What's your name?
I'm Frank. Nice to meet you.
Oh, I'm a fucking asshole. What's your name?
Paul Rodriguez.
Cool. And what do you do for a living?
I ride skateboards for a living.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like a dream.
Literally my dream.
Yeah. And you worked very hard to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there might be some old ass lames out there who just think all you do is have fun all day, which technically you do.
Essentially is what I do.
That is
do. Yeah. But as I'm sure you can relate, like, yes, you work hard at it, but when you love what you're doing, I think that it doesn't feel like effort. Mm. It just feels like that's what you are compelled to do, what you should be doing, what you have to do.
I agree. You know, I, as a musician, I actually, my first love was skateboarding. Fun fact that nobody knows is the first time me and P-Rod met. I just started bawling crying because I was surprised, like a friend of ours surprised me with him being there. And it was just the last thing I would ever expect. And you were the last guy. And they were just like, hey, Paul, come over here. And then I saw you and I gave you a hug and I was excited. And I did, that's how you know I'm black. I did the like when black guys see like magic, like David Blaine, they just run. They go, oh no, they run away. That's what happened when I saw you. I was like, oh my God, it's Paul Rodriguez. And I ran and then I gave you a hug. And then it all hit me. And I was like, oh my God, you don't know what you mean to me. Because before I had music and before I could write, I would skate it out. I would skate my emotions out. And I really want to thank you for being my favorite skater and setting such an incredible example for me as a young man at what hard work and dedication can do.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you. I don't even know what to say to that. I don't even know how to react to that.
You don't got
to
say shit.
Yeah.
P-Rod.
Even in that moment, I didn't know how to react. I was like, what's that? Like, I thought when he asked me to come, I was like, man, all right. Well, I wonder, like, if I walk up, he's probably going to be like, oh, what's up, dude? Cool. Nice to see you. All right. Yeah. Nice to meet you. Okay. Cool.
No way, dude.
I was just like, not sure what even to expect. So.
You're like LeBron James skateboarding. That's a real thing.
Fun fact, LeBron James was born the day before I was. We're literally the same age.
Okay, so where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Northridge, California, about 45 minutes to an hour from where we are right now.
Wow.
Yeah, born and raised, San Fernando Valley, California.
And how long did you skateboard?
Well, the end date still has an asterisk. But when I started...
Yeah, excuse me. When did you start skating?
When I started was...
Fucking moron. Yeah. This is what happens when you're unprepared.
I started around Christmas time, 1996. So I just celebrated 26 years of skateboarding this Christmas.
Wow. Well, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What's your favorite video game of all time?
I would have to say Mortal Kombat, because that's about the time when I kind of stopped playing video games.
Wait, you don't play video games now?
I don't.
Nothing?
No, I don't. It's so bad.
You're just not into it. That's okay.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I was always the type of kid. I couldn't sit in the house. I had to be out. I had to be moving.
I was the opposite. I was so scared of the world that all I did was stay inside. And then my inside got so bad, my home life.
That outside was better?
That outside was kind of better. And then I was homeless. And then, this isn't about me. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, man, I feel like what I did with music was a really great, I don't even want to necessarily call it an escape. It really helped me deal with what was going on. Do you feel that Skating has been therapeutic for you?
100%. Even still to this day, for sure. It's the most therapeutic thing. Like just going out by myself and skating flat ground, if whatever might be bothering me, if something is bothering me and I skate flat ground, I'll be skating, I'm focused on it, but like it kind of helps me work out my problems. Cause like when you're working out a trick and you fail at it over and over and over again, and you finally get it, each time you fail, you're like, all right, let me try this adjustment. That didn't work. Let me try that one. That didn't work. And you hone in on the adjustment till you figure it out. And that's kind of how I think of a problem I'm going through or whatever it is. I look at it like a skate trick, like, all right, I'm going to fail at it over and over and over. Or maybe I should look at it from this way, from that way. Or maybe do I need to behave this way? Am I the problem? Is this the problem or whatever? Eventually you kind of like work through it.
That's a really great way to put it, because I kind of feel the same way about writing raps. Like if I can only fit but so many syllables in four bars or even a bar, you know, one, mm-hmm. two, three, four, that's a bar. And in the moment, I'll try to figure out, I've got songs where it's like so meticulous, you know, the song with Eminem, mm-hmm. Homicide. Mm-hmm. Fuck rap, bustin' like an addict with a semi-automatic who done had it and you ready for anybody to buck back. Hold a catch a Bobby, no we ain't help, we leaving nobody alive, even suicide, no fuck that. Bobby feeling villainous, he killing us. I'm coming for your man and a lady and even a baby. I'm feeling like I'm chicka chicka chicka, like shit. But when I did that the first time, I'm not even joking, I want you to think about this, like just to get that verse out in one breath, because I wanted to do it all the way through, just to do it. 500 times maybe it took me to get it perfect.
And now it's just muscle memory.
It really is muscle memory. We talked about that the other day, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, let me ask you a question. If you didn't skate for 10 years, like literally didn't get on a board, you were still active, you worked out, you stretched, you took care of yourself, do you think you could still do a bunch of the shit you do now?
Not
because
a bunch.
It's in your head?
Not
I mean,
a
you like
bunch.
Flip, tray flip.
My body, my mind, and I could feel it in my body, but it would be, I mean, dude, if I don't skate for 10 days, I feel rusty.
Really?
So yeah.
Damn.
So if it's 10 years and I've, I stayed healthy and stayed in shape, I'd still be able to like, give me a little bit, an hour or so, do a kick flip, tray flip, nose side, crook grind. Like the basic, I'd like to think I'd still be able to do that.
I used to legitimately fear, shout out this fucking dog outside.
That's the homie.
It's all good. It's some like racist lady's dog in the neighborhood. Anyway, jeez, the dog's like, get out. That's what it says. Like, get the fuck out of the neighborhood.
Racist dog.
Oh shit. I used to legitimately think that if I stopped rapping for more than like a week or two, just like you, that I would forget how to rap. That's some sick shit.
Yeah, but I think that's the passion, bro. I think that's why we're compelled to stay on top of it. Keep the sword sharp, you know, like you just feel like, oh, if I'm not doing it right now, I'm going down. And I get jealous of people like you because I was like, why couldn't I have a craft that I can't age out of?
Damn. But you're a businessman though.
Yeah, but that's not my love.
Yeah, but okay, here's a real question. So your passion is obvious, your love, the love of your life is skateboarding. When you can't do it anymore like you can now, ooh, it kind of sounds fucked
up. I actually have anxiety about it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Anxious.
Yeah, for sure. He's like, idiot. Let me get his all off real quick. Some Zannies.
You know, I have other hobbies, but you know, I'm getting actually to a point where I'm like getting interest in my, it's like I've been looking down at something for my whole life. I feel like I'm getting to a point where my eyes are looking up at life and realizing, oh, there's so many things out there now. Yeah. Oh, this is kind of cool. Oh, that's kind of cool. Like right now I'm taking Spanish class twice a week because I want to be fluent in Spanish because I'm like, I'm Mexican. I should be fluent.
Are you fully both parents Mexican?
As far as I know, I haven't done 23andMe, but both parents are Mexican. My mother is second generation born here or third generation born here. My father was born directly in Mexico, but I was raised with my mom and wasn't raised in a Spanish speaking household.
Have you ever felt self-conscious because of that? Like you weren't Mexican or Latin enough?
Yeah, not until I got older, but yeah. now I'm like, the reason I'm learning is because I want to feel more connected to my heritage.
Damn, yeah. That's actually really deep.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I've reconnected with my dad recently and some of my family members, and I feel the same way because, like, you know, I've gone through what I've gone through with them, but I miss them. And I want to know more and more and as much as I can about my heritage and my bloodline. Mm-hmm. And that shit is really important. I think it is kind of stupid how people could try to, because I've known a lot of, you know, Latin people who don't know a lick of Spanish.
Especially if you're born here. Like, that actually helped me feel better. Like, I met a lot of Mexican-American people who are in the same generation as I am, and a lot of them don't know Spanish. And I'm like, okay, I'm not the only asshole out there who doesn't know it. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, all right, that's cool. But then I realized at one point, like, I used to blame it on, like, well, I didn't grow up in the house with my dad, so he never taught me. My mom didn't know. It's not my fault. But then as I became an adult, I'm like, well, I'm a grown-ass man now. Anything I don't know, anything that I haven't learned is now my fault if I continue to not know it.
Okay, one to fluent. How much do you know?
Like, at this point? I'm at a 5 right now.
Okay.
I'm decent, but my goal is...
Hola, ¿cómo estás? Me llamo Bobby.
Yeah, sí. Hola, Bobby.
Muy poquito español, señor.
Tú sabes, just as much as I do.
Yo quiero helado. Cállate lo que tú, estúpido puta. Tu mamá, tu papá, me dejo culero. Tu cara, vos.
Everybody always knows the bad words, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I used to just, all I would date back in the day was Latin women. I was obsessed.
You know, it's funny. Up until recently, I had never dated a Latin woman.
That's how I was about white women. Mm. And then I married one.
There you go.
And knocked her up. So what kind of women were you attracted to?
I do not have a type of woman. I know what I like when I see it. I don't have like a preconceived idea of what I like. I just, I look around and if I see something that I'm drawn to.
Bam, fat ass, perfect face, nice tits, bam.
Yeah. Tall, short.
All of it.
Light, dark. I'm not against nothing.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, man. Without a doubt, that's the first thing I see. I'm focused on the face.
For sure.
Because I'm like, you could have big titties, small titties, big ass, little ass, but I'm going to be staring at that face for the rest of my life. I got to love it.
100%.
And then everything else for me is just a bonus. But as soon as she opens her mouth, that's to me is the real test. If she's sweet
100%.
And nice and fucking smart.
100%.
I gotta be with somebody that challenges.
And it also depends what your intention is.
Oh, yeah. If you just trying to smash, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you just on a skateboard tour, you know what I mean? You just Tampa Am.
Yeah.
Tapping it down, you know what I'm saying? Hey, let's talk about that.
Okay, talk to me.
So what's like the groupie lady girl situation in the world of skateboarding?
In skateboarding?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
What? Really?
Bro, we don't get no chicks.
You're joking.
We don't get no chicks. It comes down to the individual. Like, is that person somebody who is good with the ladies, a good talking, a
smooth? So who's somebody who's good with the ladies that you know? I feel like you're definitely good with the ladies. You're annoyingly handsome.
You're
38, you look 27.
Appreciate you.
I could punch you in the nuts.
Ugh.
Ugh.
What was I going to say? You threw me off my train of thought.
I know. I'm sorry, bro. No, who's
good with the ladies?
Yeah, who's a homie of yours that you've seen really just... Don't get nobody in trouble now.
No. My friend, Jeremy Rogers.
Oh, Jeremy Rogers?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
He's
probably got that pipe, huh?
Yeah. Mm. He ain't afraid to flash it either, by the way.
Yeah.
He's the most
pipe, you know what I'm saying?
He's the most I don't give a fuck human I've ever met in my life.
That's attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, ever since we were young, gives no fucks about what anybody thinks about him, anybody cares about him. He'll go up to any woman, talk to anybody. If he's interested, he just go and do it. And if he gets shot down, makes no difference. It rolls right off his shoulder onto the next.
Shit, where was this guy when I started rapping? Could have used some advice. I cared about what people thought for a long time. And guess what? I still do, but this much. Because that makes me a human being.
Sure, sure.
You know, that makes me, and that's okay. But I am in control, and I've been saying this, my motto, of how much it hurts and how long I allow it to hurt. Mm-hmm. Where are you in that world here now? You know, a successful businessman, father, amazing friend, son, brother, you know, like, where are you with being accepted? Honestly, how do you feel?
Honestly, I put myself in a neutral zone where, like, someone's good opinion or bad opinion of me doesn't affect me very much on the scale either way. If it's a nice thing, if somebody has a good opinion, I'm grateful. I appreciate it, but I don't go too far with it. And if someone's a bad opinion, okay, cool.
So what if Tony Hawk was like, you're the worst skateboarder to ever grace a skateboard in the history of skateboarding?
Well, then I would know Tony Hawk's a liar.
That's how I feel. That's how I would feel.
No, I love Tony, by the way. Don't.
No, that's a Joe Budden. Joe Budden said I was the worst rapper to ever grace a microphone in the history of. Now, I'm not here to give Joe Budden.
No, I saw that shit too, man.
No.
I'm not trying to.
We're not even talking about it. I'm just joking. But that was a hard one for me years ago. You know, recently he said some shit about me, and it was just a slight exhale through the nose. I was hey, it is what it is. And I'm happy that I've come that far.
But dude, he's a guy who never got accepted as a good rapper. Clearly speaks through the lens of having a chip on his shoulder about everything. Yeah. So that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to get dragged into some hip-hop drama.
No, you're not. Honestly, let's talk about it. For me, when I think about Joe, and I've never talked about this ever, so here it is.
Let's talk.
Logically speaking, when I think about Joe Budden, all I want is his happiness. And that's not a fucking politically correct answer. That's not me. That's me doubling down on fucking being logic. Peace, love, and positivity. I legitimately look at that man and just want him to be happy. And if he's so angry, or if those hot takes are getting him the clicks that make him happy, or that's what he likes doing, then more power to him. But one thing I will say that I've never said before, Joe Budden called my people and wanted me to come on his show for a peace sit down 3 years ago. And I said no. Do you know why?
Yeah, because I would guess.
Because 2 weeks ago he was just talking shit about me on his podcast and I knew it was bullshit, so I didn't want to sit down with a man that I didn't feel would respect me. That's
for
all
sure,
it comes down
but
to.
I'm sure there's a party that's also like, well, this is only gonna benefit your situation, and with the bad energy he brings to you, why would you come help benefit his platform?
I think it could be a moment, and it would be a moment,
sure.
But I don't need that moment.
That's
what
I'm saying.
I have moments when I put my son to sleep, when I love and care for my wife, when I make music, when I sit down with my friends like you. So that's the only reason that I wouldn't do it. Never say never, you never know, but I have no intention of doing that. And all I can truly do is just wish that man the best, you know? And anybody who hates on Pump It Up is a lame. That was a banger. That one banger, that shit was dope. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
Yeah.
What's the gnarliest injury you've ever received?
Oh, Paul Rodriguez. 2018, I destroyed my whole right knee.
No way.
Yeah.
Did you have to get surgery and they pumped it up?
Oh.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about it. Wait, you destroyed, you said, well, how old were you?
I was 33.
Okay.
I was your age.
Oh, shit. I couldn't imagine. My back hurts just looking at you. So.
I was skating a set of stairs. My board went haywire. I was trying not to fall on it. I turned to the side to, like, avoid falling on it on my rib cage. This foot came down first. My weight was this way. The knee went that way. And I felt it pop out and slide back in.
Look at my face.
Tore the ACL, both meniscuses, MCL was hanging on by a thread.
What?
Bone contusions from the femur to the tibia. I could be wrong about the bone names. It was, my doctor told me it was called the terrible triad. Where
the
basically
fuck
you
is
just
this, like,
tore.
A bunch of like Asians coming out and shooting your shit up. The triads. You seen Rush Hour? That's what happened to your knee, dog. This motherfucker was saying, he said, what's his name? Fuck. Damn, goddamn.
What was his name? Yeah.
What's his name? Fuck.
Now we're going to get stuck on there.
Hold up. Shit. Hold up. Wait. Hold up. Black and knees. All right.
Now I'm stuck on it. Anyways, yeah. I tore that up.
So the Chinese gang shot you up.
I got blasted up. And
okay. So let's talk about pain. 1 to 10.
It hurt a lot, but I've actually taken slams that didn't cause any serious injury that hurt a lot more.
And it was like a long,
it was
probably
more,
not a longer recovery.
But. It was, no, not those fault. This fall, this was, took about a full 2 years. So I finally was like, okay, I can skate again, like without thinking about it comfortably, I'm back.
So from the time that you, literally the moment that it happened, when could you kickflip? You're Goofy, right?
Yeah.
Right here.
My
you
man.
Too. So when could you kickflip?
I would say about 13 months.
That sucks.
Yeah, it sucked.
That sucked.
Sucked.
Dude, I couldn't go like if it was raining, you know, I would go to this pavilion and just skate on the picnic tables under a pavilion because that's all I had. I could not skate.
Same.
Like, dude, I used to, and I was a very skinny kid. I was like easily. My mom used to look at me and go, Auschwitz, because I was so skinny.
Damn.
First of all, that's deep. That's some fucked up shit to hear from your mama. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was a skinny kid, and even in the winter, I would just throw on like heaps of clothes to skate. So I couldn't imagine. What was that like for you mentally?
It was horrible. It was horrible, but also, I told myself, you know what? You look up, you have all these heroes, you look up to all these people that you admire, and every one of them became great, and not one of those great people did not have to go through some sort of trial and tribulation. And up until that point, I'm grateful to say my life had literally just happened exactly how I wanted it to, and I was grateful.
Wow.
And this was like finally as a grown man, like, oh, here's your trials and tribulations or whatever, you know?
Wow.
And,
How was your attitude through it? Were you positive, or were there days? How was it?
It was up and down for sure. But the first, when it first happened and my friend drove me home, I had a girlfriend at the time, and I told her, hey, just give me 24 hours to feel self-pity. I'm going to get a 6-pack of beer. I'm going to order a bunch of Thai food. I'm going to eat, and I'm just going to be wallowing in my sorrows for 24 hours. After that, don't take that shit from me no more. Like, don't let me do that.
Damn.
I'm not doing that.
Paul Rodriguez?
And so I took that 24 hours. I tried to process what was happening. And when I went finally on that Monday to go get an MRI, got the diagnosis, I was shattered. But I told myself...
Shattered?
Oh, yeah.
I smoked shatter once by accident.
Oh, damn.
That's something you don't want to... You don't want to hear somebody go, yeah, that paper is actually laced with shatter when you just started smoking weed again. Anyway, back to your injury.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Why'd you say that like Owen Wilson? Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yo, you know how there's like, sorry, really quick. You know how there's like degrees of separation?
Uh-huh.
What's your degree of separation from, wow, Owen Wilson?
Maybe one. I actually just met him recently at an LAFC game.
Flex.
Back in October.
Okay. So then there's no degree.
Well, he was in the Yeah Right video.
He's in the Yeah Right video. But we'll get there. Back to your injury.
I got hurt, got the diagnosis. I was devastated, but I immediately started telling myself, all right, Paul, this is your turn to show. If you really want to be a great one, you want to be one of these guys, this is your turn to show that you can power through and overcome it. And so as I was going through it, I started realizing like having a lot of reflective looking back and thinking about things I was taking for granted, thinking about how I was on autopilot and I really wasn't challenging myself at that point.
I have felt that way as a musician. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that my heart wasn't in it. Like, I'm sure you were into every trick, but maybe you were just thinking about different shit. Maybe how you looked when you did those tricks. Maybe the perception of you rather than just strictly to art. At least that's how it was for me for a time.
I realized during that time I had actually been burnt out and I didn't know it.
Wow.
In the time, like for as far back as I can remember, I was so passionate, so fired up, so hungry every day. I got to get it. I'm trying to be the best I can be. I want to be one of the greats. I want to do that. And I got to a certain point, maybe around 30, 31.
Wow.
Where like I started like being a little lazy, not necessarily trying to get better, just kind of doing what I already knew how to do, just kind of flowing.
Yeah, but I feel like you collected every letter of skate in Tony Hawk Pro Skater at that point. Like, you did it all. Like, you got it.
That's like saying, have you already recorded every song you can record?
Definitely
have you made
not.
Any rhyme you can rhyme? You
no
know,
way.
Like, of course, as long as you could have the passion to push yourself, you can, as long as your body allows. So I had a really reflective time. And after I got healed and I was better, I realized, okay, you know what? That was actually a blessing in disguise. It actually gave me something like, hey, oh, this is something you can actually like, can I overcome this and do it? Now I had a new goal, a new challenge. And thank God I'd accomplished everything I had dreamt to accomplish and more. I got to a point where I was burnt out. And also nothing was as interesting to me that I hadn't already accomplished in my world that was driving me forward.
Man, you're a fucking really cool guy. I mean,
thanks,
I know
man.
That. Because we like make out.
You're
yeah.
awesome. Sorry. I'm yeah, just,
man, that's a joke. No, but I know that because we're buddies. But I don't know how to explain it. It's just really cool to hear you talk about anxiety, insecurities, fears, and be so open about it. Because there's a lot of people that can't do it, you know, and are scared to do it.
People probably have the most because they're not, they don't have a pressure valve to release it from. Mm.
Damn, that's deep. What's your favorite color?
I don't have one.
Okay, how'd you lose your virginity?
Oh, it's a Jeremy Rogers story.
Oh, what? You and Jeremy Rogers fucked each other? No way!
What? Now I realize how that came out. No, that's not what happened.
Okay.
So.
Sure.
This is me getting vulnerable again.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so I was 17 years old.
All right.
Jeremy was and I lived together. He.
Are you sure this isn't about you and Jeremy?
No, but he's an integral part.
All right, okay. I'm just kidding.
He had already lost his virginity. He had a girlfriend and all that. And I had met this girl, and I was really into her, but I was really shy with girls, really, like, nervous and awkward. And the girl had already had sex before.
Okay.
And we were hanging out, and, like, we were starting to, like, fool around. And I was, she's like, you know, do you have any condoms? I was like, no, I don't have any condoms. I was like... So, like, I was like, all right, hold on. I'll be right back. I went to Jeremy's room. I knocked on the door. Yo, yeah? By any chance, do you have any condoms?
What is this, how high? It's like, I need weed. You got a blunt?
Yeah,
I got a blunt.
Like,
you need weed?
By any chance, do you have any condoms? He's like, no, dude, I'm all out. I'm like, fuck. I think this is the moment. I think it's about to happen. He's like, dude, you want me to go? I'll go to 7-Eleven. I'll get you some right now. I'm like, oh, my God. I love you, dude.
No,
thank
he
you.
Didn't.
He went to 7-Eleven. This motherfucker comes back. He knocks on my bedroom
door.
What,
did he give you a magnum? You were like, dude, it's not.
Literally. He came back with a box of magnums. I'm like, bro, are you fucking kidding me? You think, like,
hey, man.
I appreciate you, but I'm sorry to let you down. So,
you know, rocking a nice average penis here.
Yeah. So the first time I lost my virginity, I had to, like, finagle and make a magnum work.
What the fuck? Were you just holding it like this?
Baggy jeans, basically.
All
right. Basically, yeah.
What an honest... I like that, you know? You got a nice, solid, average penis.
That's right. Keyword, solid.
Solid? Yeah, meanwhile, first time I lost my virginity, I wore Magnum. I swear to God, I'm not even joking. I swear. I told you I'm black.
Hey.
Anyway, that's no fucking story. So Jeremy got you the rubber. How was it? What was it like? I mean, was it weird? Was it scary? Was it, what was her
name? I was
nervous.
You
gotta say your name.
No. I was nervous as hell. She was my girlfriend by this point. And like, she was like,
how long were you guys together?
Probably 2 weeks by this point. But like, you know, at that age, it's like,
pussy in 2 weeks at 17?
Yeah. And,
girl.
And
wait, was it her first time?
No,
apparently not.
No.
It was 2 weeks.
I was like, you know, when you get so nervous that you just start confessing that you're like, I've never done this before. Like, I've got, like, I couldn't keep my cool anymore. Like, I had to just,
that's dope.
I was breaking down.
You're
like,
such an honest guy.
I appreciate you.
So, how did she? Was she sweet? Was she nice about it?
Oh, super cool.
She was cool.
She was cool. And then we went on to date for 2 months more.
Wow.
But at that time, you know, when I was 17, 2 months felt like 2 years.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
why did it end? She's like, I need that Magnum.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, right? So, this guy, no, I'm just kidding. No, I think, I, if I remember correctly, I actually broke up with her.
Mm.
I just didn't like.
Just got the pussy.
I was
like,
no, I was like, looking, baby. Nah, yeah, nah, baby, nah, I gotta try some things.
It's like, bro, you're 17. You know what's so funny that you say that? You say that and, like, you tell this really amazing story, and I think about how when I mean, you got to understand, bro. I mean, you're 17 in what, 2002?
Mm-hmm.
Bruh, I'm 12. I can't even bust nuts. I'm busting ghost loads at this point. Okay, nothing's coming
out. I've never heard that term. That's really good.
Ghost loads. And, and I mean, I'm watching. I just discovered Tampa Am.
Dude, I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Dude.
I just kind of let my mom into the skate park, and I'm leaving her hanging so bad.
No problem.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, shit. How many times did she call
like
you?
20 minutes ago, dude. Oh, my gosh.
What a fucking terrible sign.
Hi, Mom. I'm so sorry. Hi, Mom. Love you. Bye.
Love you, Mom. Bye. What happened? She sounded pissed.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't. She had asked me.
Hold on one second.
Yeah, go for it, my man. She had asked me if I had anything to that I didn't want that I can give for her friend who's doing a fundraiser for a school. And I was like, oh, yeah, I have these couple boxes at the skate park of like clothes and things that you can give them. She was like, all right, I'm gonna drive over there now. And I was like, oh, yeah, just text me.
You're doing a fundraiser?
Yeah.
So like what? People can like buy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I'll sign some shit and give it to your mom.
Let's go.
I'm serious.
Yeah, okay.
Please. I'm not just saying that because we're here.
Please.
We can even cut this out. No, you got to make me look good. Anyway.
Uh-huh. Well, it's you the boss, man.
Yeah, we try. That's dope because when I was looking at you, so when did Yeah Right come out?
2003.
So this is around the time I'm watching Tampa Am. And then, you know, I'm watching the Yeah Right video, which we'll get into because that's a big part of how I discovered you.
Wow.
Excuse me. And I look at you and I just see this like handsome, confident, just like God. You with your fucking long hair, you look like Jesus and shit. Like all this other stuff. So it's kind of cool to hear that you're just kind of a normal guy like me, you know, young guy,
100%.
Not so sure of himself personally. 100%. Like, that's a really
only
cool.
time I was confident in that time was when I'm on a skateboard.
That's how I felt about rapping. Mm-hmm. Even back then when I was mm-hmm. 17, I was like, I rap.
Yeah, that's the only time you're in your bag where you're just like, nobody's fucking with me.
Now, here's a real question. When do you feel you found yourself in your bag as a man, as a human being? Because I'm in my bag.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know, man. I'll let you know. Yeah.
What? Like, you'll let me know?
I'll let you know. I'll be like, yo, Bobby, come in my bag.
No, you in your bag?
I feel good, but I have a lot of evolving to do. I've recently realized that I've been doing what I've been doing since I was 12 years old, and I'm a 38-year-old man still doing it. I have a lot of 12-year-old tendencies that are still in me because I've been so locked in what I was doing as a kid that certain things that other friends of mine or other people would go through growing up and going through certain phases in life, I never had to go through
because
I was
still. Can you give me an example? Something that you could.
Communication.
Wow, really?
Communicating with people, communicating with family or like emails. I will not do an email to save my life. I won't do
it. Well, thanks for texting me back, Paul Rodriguez.
I'll text you back. I'll text my close people back.
I'm a close person.
Yeah, man. You're my close buddy now, man.
Thanks, homie. Appreciate that.
I'm in my circle, but like, those are a couple examples. And there's other ones that I just always stumble upon just in social situations. I get crazy socially awkward.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, lots of stuff like that I notice. Like, I'm still kind of like 12 years old in this category. So now I'm like, okay, as I'm coming, you know, to this later stage of my career, I'm like, all right, I need to start planning for the next part of life and everything. And I'm realizing first thing I need to do before I go anywhere in the next part of life is like evolve as an adult, as a man, and become a person internally that I want to be before I can be the person external that I want to be.
Dude, welcome to life.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's so cool to hear you say this. I mean, you're one of the most successful people I've ever met.
That's such a lie, dude.
No, it's the 100,000%. You're happy. You have an incredible business, an amazing talent, an amazing family. Bro, you wake up every day. You are so blessed. We are blessed.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful to the
No, you are one of the most successful people I've ever met.
Thanks, dude.
And a big reason of that is because of your fucking spirit personally.
Thanks.
You wake up every day and you go, let's fuck today in the ass, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's great.
Some people will call that. I call it gratitude. Yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
For sure.
I call it day. I definitely constantly am thanking God every day, every second. Like, I can't believe this is my life. Like, right here. I can't believe this is my life. Like, this is crazy. This is awesome.
That's how I feel. I can't believe I'm hanging out with Paul Rodriguez.
You know? Life's a fucking trip.
Almost fluent speaking Mexican-American.
Yeah,
this
man.
Is amazing. I want to shout out somebody that I've never, ever publicly spoken about. Joe Budden. No, I'm just kidding. B.J. Blackwell.
What?
B.J. Blackwell was one of my dearest friends in my teenage years, my adolescent years, my masturbatory years, as we call them. They're the real
You're
years.
You're out of those? You're through those? Is that weird?
Definitely not. You know, I hit a morning fap every once in a while. But BJ Blackwell was a kid that I met at the skate park, Gaithersburg Skate Park. I just want to also take a moment and actually look at the fucking camera and say thank you, everybody at the Gaithersburg Skate Park who knew me there. Some of them knew me as wild and wonky. Some of them knew me as very poor. Some of them knew me as a thief, because once or twice I stole a skateboard. I'm going to be real. I was just so poor. I feel bad about it now. I stole a kid's skateboard from church once. Yikes. Anyway, I was broke. It's okay. God loves me. No, it wasn't right. But you saw my childhood. I paid for it. Everybody at Gaithersburg Skate Park, I just remember like one name. This guy's name was Matt. He was really nice. And, you know, BJ was an incredible friend of mine. And we just studied you and all your homies religiously. And, you know, like, I mean, we used to do nothing but skateboard. We would skate and then we would get exhausted. And the funny thing is, though, can I tell you something? I don't even know if you know this exists, but now BJ was crazy. That dude with like 5-0, a fucking 10 stair rail. Okay. He was a
Everybody sick, has that guy, the he psycho.
Was, he was a sick fuck. He would just, you know, he wasn't like tray flipping a 12. Like it wasn't that wild, but he did. He hit that. He would hit the 5-0, whatever. And he would do different things. I hear my baby.
Uh-huh.
My baby's running around. He's so loud. He's like his daddy. So what I'm saying is all these people, I just want to just take a minute and just say thank you and like, I love you. And like, I don't know if you know what I was going through. Well, apparently now you know. If you know logic, then you know what I was going through at home. And you know how much you meant to me. And I just want to take a minute to say there was a woman named Bobby. She probably has no idea I'm even me today. So Bobby, female, worked at the rec center that was in charge of... what the fuck are they called? Yearly passes to the skate park. And I used to go in there all the time to drink water because I'd be so exhausted that I couldn't afford the dollar water from the vending machine. So I would skate all the way down and go to the rec center across the way, hop and a skip from the skate park. And I remember like being on the water fountain just fucking like laying.
Hogging.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah, hell yeah.
You're just laying. And then I would see this, you know, pretty young brunette working at the front desk. And I was just a little ladies' man. I used to go up to women. They would be like 30. I'd be like, what's up, girl? Like, I was kind of wild. You know what I mean?
God bless you, man.
Yeah, what can I say? Magnums. Anyway, so I'd be like, I would talk to this young woman. And she was so sweet and so nice to me. And, you know, I was this little kid. I'm 10. I'm 11 years old. And I remember one day, after working my magic for quite some time, I walked in and she gave me a fucking season pass to the skate park. I could cry. I won't. Shut up. You're crying. Oh, man. You know me.
How old would you guess she was?
28.
That old? Yeah. That's like ancient at that age when you're like 11.
I mean, I like them. Hey. Matured. Hashtag mature on the hub, you know? No, but she was really sweet, and I don't think she ever really... I mean, she had to have known, you know what I mean? Like, I'm in there, I'm obviously using a, like, fucking K-Swiss board, some shit that don't even exist. I gotta steal a good one. Uh-huh. Steal a girl board or some shit like that. And it was just so sweet of her to do that. But BJ, man, he was there for me, and we used to just skate and just kill it. And I remember I saw him, like, on... the internet kind of one day, like years ago. And I wish I could reconnect with him because he was such a good guy. But I just want to say, look, man, we did it. We made it. Look who we're, we did it. We did it. BJ, if you're watching, man, we did it. And shout out to your mommy and your dad. And, you know, he was a biracial brother who looked very black. Definitely Magnum status. You know what I'm saying? Who's over there? Oh, is that who it is? Oh, you know who it is. Come on. Come here. Oh, come on. Come. Come here, Bubba. Watch your step.
Oh,
come here, baby. How are you? This is a. Yeah. How
What's
you
up,
baby?
Dude?
This is your Uncle Paul, baby. You see Uncle Paul?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, high five. Nice to meet you. Oh, you're a sweetheart. Hi, how are you?
Wait, have you guys met? Y'all met?
Yeah,
right?
We met, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Oh, my goodness. Dude, look at my little baby.
Look at that.
This is my son. So for those of you listening, you can't see him, but he's literally the baby Leonardo DiCaprio. And I love him. Let's just take a moment. I think you're starting to understand your dad's kind of famous. I'm just kidding. I'm serious. Dude, hold on. Sorry, guys. Just give me a second.
Yeah.
How are you? How's your day?
My day.
It's good? What did you do today?
Dad was playing.
You were just were playing? Mm-hmm. That's cool. Did you play with Bubbles today? Yeah. You did? Mm. What else did you play with? Yeah. You play with the doggies?
Yeah.
What are your doggies' names?
Stony and Carl.
Stony and Carl. And you just met your granddad for the first time, right? Yeah. You learned that you're a quarter black. You cannot say the N-word, though. How much do you love mommy?
Too
much. Oh, baby. How much do you love daddy?
Too much.
Really? Oh, thank you. I love you. Do you see you right there? That's you. Is there anything you'd like to say to the world, little boy?
No.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Dude, you don't understand. My favorite thing in the whole world. I swear, fuck all the cameras and all this shit. My little baby, dude. I love you.
I'm sneaking up on you.
You what?
Sneaking up.
Oh, you were sneaking up on me. Yes, you and mommy did sneak up on me. You have the best mommy.
And then I found you.
And then you found me. I'm so glad you found me. I love you. You know, I think I want to interview you. I think you're starting to get old enough. I want to interview you. Do you think I could do that later?
Yeah.
You know what interviewing means? An interview is where you sit where your Uncle Paul is sitting and Daddy sits right here and we just talk about things. We talk about things like Paw Patrol, right? You love Paw Patrol, right? And we would talk about Baby Shark.
And Dino?
Oh, of course we would talk about dinos, baby. Anything you want. What's your favorite dino?
T-Rex.
The T-Rex? And what does the T-Rex say? What does the T-Rex say? What does he say? Go ahead, scream it. Go, 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 go.
I don't want
to. He says, rah! Can you do? Yes, you can. Rah! Yeah, good boy. Good boy, amazing. Okay, well, we'll hang out later. I'm gonna neglect you now. I love you. You're the most beautiful little man in the world. Why don't you go hang out with your granddad, okay?
Okay.
Mommy will take you. Mommy, can I have a kiss? I love you. God, you're so hot.
Mommy.
Yeah, baby.
I want to go to my granddad.
To your granddad.
Aww.
Let's go find
her. Here, honey, you have an eyelash. Come here. Oh, shit, you got two of them. Make a wish. Ready? I'm going to make a wish, and then you... Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, I'm going to make a wish, and then you make a wish. Ready? Well, we'll both make wishes at the same time. Here
okay.
I go. Ready? And... And here we go.
Wait. Oh.
Oh, you fucked up.
But I'm confused.
I'll tell you this. I got mine.
One.
I can roll over and go to bed. Sorry about that. Actually, I'm not
Please
sorry.
Please don't be sorry about that. Don't ever be sorry.
Thank you for your time. We're still good. I'd say about 15 more minutes
You're
or so.
You're the first person I ever met with a fancy watch that uses his watch.
I use my watch, bro. Who was I talking to? I was just talking to... 24K Golden, he's a rapper.
Uh-huh.
And he was here with Juicy J the other day. And I asked him, I was like, is your watch set? He was like, fuck no. And then I asked that.
Mine ain't set, nah. And even if mine was set, I couldn't tell my time as fast as you just did. I'd be like,
yeah, it's 4:15.
Where's my phone?
Can I say? Yeah. So, let me just finish what I was saying. You good, though? You good on time?
My day is clear for this. Mm. Clear for takeoff.
Thank you very much.
So, okay. You kick me out when it's time.
I'm not kicking you out, baby. Back. Right. Let me grab the magnums.
Uh-oh. I can fit now, by the way. I grew into it. I was a late bloomer.
Oh, for sure. Bet that. I feel you. this is great. So, let me just finish... what I was saying. So everybody at Gaithersburg High School, the Victor Litz brothers, different people, I don't think you understand, you know, what I was escaping. And you were there for me. Even if you were giving me shit, making fun of me, you know, giving me a hard time, kicking me out of the skate park, whatever. I just want to say thank you. Look at this. It's so crazy that I'm blessed enough to be able to meet P-Rod. And so shout out every single person from Gaithersburg, Rockville Skate Park, people who still go there to this day, even though the version of Gaithersburg Skate Park today is fucking lame.
Did they redo it or something?
I saw that shit on Google Maps. How you make everything smaller? Like, they had this crazy pyramid that was amazing. That's how you know I skate. They had this crazy ass fucking pyramid that was like amazing. They got rid of it. And it's just some like, ugh, it's some pre-K school bullshit.
Is it like prefab? Like, just like,
I don't fucking know. Is it just concrete? No, I wish. Concrete would kind of be dope. Like, it's
so
not
then
even
if
that.
It's not concrete, then it's probably prefab.
Well, no, they built it. It was all wooden. Oh, well, but then they got rid of it. And then it was like this like new texture. It was like black. I forget what it is.
Yeah, that's some like, feels like some pre-flat plastic shit.
I remember one time I was at the skate park and this kid went to do like this like, oh, no way. So the other day I asked you to send me.
Nollie Flip Crook.
He texted me because we're going to do something at the skate park. Back. No, but we're going to do something. We're going to hang out and vibe and maybe shoot a music video or something. We'll see something.
For sure.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. What's up? But anyway, I asked Paul. Paul was like, "Oh, I'm at the skate park. You should come by." I couldn't make it that specific day, but I was like, "Yo, send me a nollie flip crooked grind on a box right now." And he literally texts me. He goes, "Coming up." And I was, bro, like 60 seconds later. What a piece of shit. He's so good at what he does. What I was gonna say about all of this before I started was, I used to watch your videos, and I'd be watching Bulala and Sorry and fucking, you know, all this shit, Toy Machine, fucking everybody. But then we would like half board slide a piece of wood outside. Like, you know, like that's a real thing.
Dude, I went through that as well.
Yeah, for like 6 days. Like, what are you talking about?
You're like a prodigy. Same kid looking at my hero, like just doing.
Yeah, but then you did it. Like, we couldn't do it. I am a peasant.
Yeah, but come on, man. Like, you can relate to that
please,
now.
Please, sire, please. Oh, please bless me and my fetus and my white stomach. Like, that's us. You walking out there like, may your kingdom be fresh. Like, that's you, motherfucker. Like, we was like skating shit. And we skate like shit. But we're so amped and pumped up.
Yeah, but you know what that feels like because you did it in your world. You know what it feels like to start and have your heroes and look up to them. Man, I wish I could be like that and then become that.
And then I'm on a record with Eminem. Exactly. No, he on my record. Let's exactly. You're right.
You know that exact feeling.
I agree. And you know what? I think a lot of others like me who weren't the greatest at skating, even though it was our lives, went on to do other really great things, you know, personally, whether it's play video games, whether it's make art. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I think that's a really good perspective that you have.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. It's pretty dope. So what are we thinking? Like 6.5 inches? Like, so?
I'm hoping. Yeah, okay, I'm hoping.
Fatherhood. Let's talk about that for a second. So yeah, you please. Have a beautiful daughter. What's her name?
Heaven Love Rodriguez.
And she's how old?
She's 14 years old.
Heaven Love. Mm-hmm. This nigga's into rom-coms for sure.
Not until recently.
Oh, what do we have to do?
Oh, we're 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah, we have to watch 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
Because I was have you seen 500 Days of Summer?
We try, but the internet, you know.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Oh, actually, it turns out, so he came to my house to watch 500 Days of Summer for an unknown reason.
And then we just ended up on Seinfeld trivia.
Yeah, we were literally quizzing each other on Seinfeld.
It's one of my favorite things to do.
Let's do that really quick for 2 seconds, because why not? And then we'll get back to the children.
Okay.
Because they're not that important right now.
Hit me with something.
Shit.
I got one.
All right, go.
What old talk show
did 8 inches. No, I'm just kidding.
What old talk show set did Kramer find in the dumpster?
You're a fucking asshole.
I really do this Seinfeld shit, dude.
Welcome to da-da-da. And he was like, George, and then the fucking...
Oh, we have Elaine Benes.
Elaine Benes. And then the fucking the animal, like he had the hawk, the guy. Like, I know the whole episode. What was it?
Merv Griffin.
Merv, you're lame that you know
He
that.
Even found Merv Griffin's cigar. Look, Jerry, it's Merv's cigar.
Did you just hear his laugh? Can we repeat that? He said... You know you're a nerd about some shit.
I'm a Seinfeld connoisseur nerd.
You're a cinephile.
Yes.
Cinephile. They call it, like, people who are obsessed with film, they call them cinephiles. Mm-hmm. I feel really weird because the word file's in there, and then I just think about, like,
ooh, yeah.
The weird one, let's not mention it, because, ugh, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, no. So back to Seinfeld.
Let's rename it.
Let's rename what?
Why do we have to go along with the file?
Well, no, a file is just a file. It's like an obsession. It's like
no,
a
compulsion. I get that.
But I'm just saying the one file is like, we don't want to talk about that file. That's a file we're throwing out.
That file ain't in the cabinet.
You know
it's
what I mean?
Unfiled.
It's unfiled.
It's unfiled.
It's unfiled.
It's unfiled.
Can you drink some more? Let's get loose. Unfiled.
Hey, baby.
Oh, I'm going to be so famous doing this. Anyway. LeBron who? That's a joke. Mark my fucking words. LeBron's going to pull up and sit in that goddamn chair in no time.
Oh, for sure. He lives down the street or whatever.
Don't dox him. This nigga doxing to LeBron James.
What's that mean? I'm familiar with the doxing term.
Dox means like you're giving out somebody's address, which is a joke because you clearly didn't do that. I mean,
by the way,
this nigga LeBron James got more fucking security than president. What?
Yeah. I was at, just a side note, random. It's nothing. I was at In-N-Out. I will not say where. I will not dox it.
Wait,
I was
why?
At In-N-Out the other day.
Oh, okay.
And I'm in the drive-thru line with Heaven.
You were in Georgia.
Sure. I was with Heaven. We were in the drive-thru line. She was hungry. I was getting her some food.
What a good
and
dad.
And fucking, I see it like a big group of people come out and it's fucking Bronny and his friends just walking out and getting in the car.
LeBron James was just at In-N-Out?
No, his son. That was Bronny.
Oh, his
son. Bronny comes walking. I'm like, oh shit, that's Bronny.
Did he have security?
There was good. One guy standing outside.
They ain't finna catch that boy lacking, I'll tell you
he
that.
He was standing outside of the In-N-Out and just chilling. And I was like, this dude is standing out here real sus right now. And then
you look over and there's like three automatic rifles.
And then I see Bronny and I'm like, security.
Got it.
I'm going to get to that point at some point, but you know.
All right, LeBron. I love it. I got to respect it. Shout out my black man right there. Keeping his child safe in the world. How old is Bronny?
I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing 17, 18. And I was just, like I was telling you a second ago, like LeBron was literally born one day before me. We're the same.
Wait, LeBron James?
Is born one day before me.
LeBron James is 38?
Yes.
Wow.
So when Bronny came out, it clicked in my mind like, I could be your daddy.
Oh, shit.
I'm old enough to be your daddy.
Damn, did you say you was Bronny's daddy right now?
I said I could be.
It's a little weird.
I said I could be.
You definitely wasn't wearing a Magnum that day, I'll tell you that. But that's a joke. Everyone.
So I told Heaven, she was in the car. I was like, Heaven, look, it's Bronny.
She's
like,
shit, you were fangirling on
like,
Bronny?
Yeah, she's like, who's Bronny? I was like, it's LeBron James' son. She's like, oh, where? Oh, cool.
So what, I got to pee again, but I can hold
it. Oh, my gosh. This guy with the fucking peeing.
I broke the seal. Back. Endangered seal.
This is my proudest fact of my life outside of my beautiful child. I am in a special club with LeBron. I'm one of only, I don't know the exact number, I think 7-8 people to ever have a signature, over 10 signature shoes with Nike. And I'm the only non-basketball player to have that. And so I'm in that club with LeBron, man. That's my teammate.
Flex, let's go. That's some gangster shit.
That's my club mate. So that's just my
okay.
flex.
It's
your fault. You get me loose.
I love it. You showed me that you have a, and we shall get to Heaven soon. We will get to your beautiful young daughter. But you show me you got Michael Jordan signed shoes just for you.
Oh, Mike showed you that on FaceTime, huh?
Mike, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not Mike.
Spanish
Mike. Damn,
Mike.
I shouldn't have said that. I should have been like, yeah, man, Mike hit me. He was FaceTiming me talking about, yeah, Logic. Yeah. You're so cool.
I'm also
you
in that club. Yeah.
All right, anyway.
Jordan happens to be in that club as well, but, you know.
Jordan, you know, Michael Jordan. No LeBron James. No, I'm just kidding. Could you imagine? I could give a fuck. If I'm being honest, I don't know.
No, I feel you. I feel you. You know, I have this thing where, like, whether I'm into it or not, I don't give a fuck if I follow it or not. If you are a master at your craft, I want to know about you. I don't care if you're the guy who started Nathan's Hot Dogs. You love hot dogs, Emma, and you built it up to that big of a brand.
Nathan's.
Oscar Mayer, Wieners, whatever.
Glizzy Gate. I love a good wiener down my throat.
But I don't care what it is. Like, if you got to your craft, then you had to have had felt in yourself, in your belly, the same fire that I felt. So we can definitely relate. We can definitely talk, whatever your craft is.
So to me, that's the way I look at it, whether I follow it or not.
You know what I love about this situation right now?
Is that we're just staring at the screen, looking at ourselves.
We are looking at the screen, but I'm looking at you. Damn, you handsome, number one. Second.
Hey, man, I appreciate you. Thank you.
No problem. We kind of lit right now. I can see it in your eyes a little bit. Look at you.
I got a nice little glaze.
You got a slight glaze.
I got a little glaze.
On the horizon.
A little Krispy Kreme.
A little Krispy Kreme pie. You know what I mean? Anyway, yo, isn't it crazy? Did you notice what shirt I'm wearing?
Alcoholics Anonymous.
And what am I doing while I'm wearing this shirt?
You're being anonymously alcoholic.
No. Do you know why I happily wear this shirt as I drink scotch?
Well, I've heard you speak on it. I've heard in your songs, the way you talk about it, how you approached. The way I heard it is the way you approach drinking alcohol, almost like as an experiment. I feel like to see, like, okay, I need to know what this was, what people were going through, what they were doing.
Definitely, because my parents were alcoholics and drug addicts, and I was raised in the program. And Alcoholics Anonymous actually showed me from a very young age the best way to have a healthy relationship with substance. So I didn't really truly start drinking until about 27, 28 mm-hmm. years old. And I think it's because of all those masturbatory years spent.
Masturbation Anonymous.
Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, you know, in the bottom of, you know, churches and, mm-hmm. you know, XYZ different locations and, you know, seeing all types of people. Police officers, drug dealers, lawyers, doctors, you know, hardworking, average, you know, the average Joe, average man, average woman who are out there grinding and hustling and struggling with addiction. And it really showed me a lot. So I don't wear this and drink scotch to be an asshole. I wear it to say that it's because of this program that I have a good relationship and a healthy relationship with alcohol. Now, with that said, Paul, we're nearing nearing the end, but sure. I want to end in a great way.
Let's
ask a few more questions.
Whatever you want. They might go into some tangents. So
how often do you shave your balls?
If there's a lady friend that I'm seeing.
No, this is like you're just you skating with like seven dudes all the time. Like,
well, that never happens. at this age.
Okay.
I would say if you average it out, maybe 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks.
So that means
I shaved my shit in like 3 months.
It gets
man.
A little
my shit
fluffy.
Looking like Robin Williams and what's that shit? Jumanji.
In everything. You know everything. Oh yeah, Jumanji.
He rolled a seven. His shit is stuck in time. No, I need to hit that man.
No, that's what happens when you're happy.
Okay, cool. You've been in Tony Hawk, right? How many games?
Well, nah, I haven't been in Tony. I've been in the video game.
No, that's what I mean. Oh, you what the fuck? Okay, now you're understanding my humor. I like that.
Okay,
Shout out Tony Hawk. In fact, yes. Yo, Tony Hawk. How tall is Tony Hawk? Wait, first of all, you've met Tony Hawk. Can we talk about
that? I know Tony, yeah.
I know. That's crazy. Yeah. Tony Hawk is the god.
Yeah.
You know, it's him, fucking Mullen, fucking... Yeah. Who started Santa Cruz?
Oh, dude, now you're getting beyond me, man. Yeah, in the 70s. I've met those.
Stacy
Peralta. Peralta, you're talking
Peralta,
about.
Peralta, fucking Jay, like all that shit. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, anyway, so wait, Tony Hawk, how tall is he?
Dude, he's 6 foot plus. He's got to be 6'1" to 6'4", somewhere in that range. He's tall.
Tony Hawk's hot. Sometimes I just think about Tony Hawk.
Tony Hot?
Tony Hot.
There he is. Tony Shout out to his brother, Mike.
He's got a brother?
Yeah.
Mike Hawk?
Got your ass.
Did you get me or did I do that on purpose?
No, you're just smart enough to recoup that quick.
No, I already got the
okay,
joke.
Okay.
This is what I do. You're on my show, asshole. No, I'm just kidding. Wait, hold on. So wait, how many Tony Hawk games have you been in?
I think two.
So which ones? So I know you were in Underground.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like what?
And
like
then maybe the one before that or the one right after that.
It might have been after. But I forget. Do you remember your part in Tony Hawk's Underground? Like here it is. Yeah. There it is, and it's gonna fucking.
Yeah, I played Paul Rodriguez in Tony Hawk.
That's great. That's really great. Okay, cool. Couple more.
To be honest, I never even played the game.
What a lame. Why would you play the game when you can do every trick in real life? What does it feel like to fucking fly? Sometimes I look at a hawk, not a Mike Hawk, but I look at a hawk and I think, oh my God, they can go anywhere, do anything. That's how, when I look
at somebody
like you.
That's probably the most frequent dream that I have is being able to fly in my dreams.
But you fly in real life, bro.
No, my biggest dream is to literally be able to fly.
You ever skydived?
Never.
That was me and my wife's first date.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I fucking shot up the club.
Hey, man, God bless you, man. I'm terrified of it.
You should just YOLO. How are you on planes?
Nervous. I for the longest time, I was terrified and would not. And
like, I was the same way.
I would not, like, it'd be
were you, like, fanning in your hat, like, at Street League when you're like,
let me
beat Ryan Sheckler real quick.
Literally. And, like, I actually used to go to a hypnotist to help me overcome my fear of flying.
He's like, fuck no.
It must have worked to a degree. It must have worked to a degree. Shout out Xanax and Jameson.
Shout out the combo.
It must have worked to a degree because now I'm cool. Like, I can handle my shit, even though if I get a turbulent flight, like, I can be cool. Yeah.
Question. We're almost done.
Dude, I'm not in a rush. If you're in a rush, then
I'm not in a rush. I definitely am going to interview my dad though.
You have to.
You have to be here for that.
I would love to.
Okay, so I'm watching you on Street League. I'm listening to Rob Dyrdek. First of all, actually, hold up. I got a question before the question. This is how it worked. I was at an undisclosed sushi restaurant because I'm not trying to dox my homie and myself. And I see Rob Dyrdek with this beautiful Asian woman. I don't know if it's his wife or girlfriend or whatever.
That's
cool. Amazing. And we're there and I'm eating. And I'm like, my security guard texts me and goes, Rob Dyrdek is right behind you. No, this is Jordan.
Okay.
I'm wearing Jordan's hat because my Bobby Boy hat was green and would have meshed with this anyway. And so I'm like, oh my God. And I don't know who I'm with. Some lame. I'm just kidding. It's one of my best friends. And I hit this like one of those like.
Like, and come with now.
And I see the God. I see the God. And as soon as I see him, I see like a younger version of him with big black skating, fucking DC skate video. And he's got his security guard. And it's like the beginning. It's like before Robin Big. It's before like he was him. That's the guy I see there. And I wanted to go up to him so bad.
You didn't talk to him?
I wanted to go up to him and I wanted to say hello to his lady and introduce myself. And I just wanted to say, Rob, thank you so much for setting an example as a businessman with an incredible craft, an artist who took what they loved and turned it into a fucking multi-million dollar business. It is not without you that I couldn't be me. I don't even know if you know who the fuck I am.
Actually, sorry to interrupt.
No. And I just wanted to tell him that and say thank you. And I was like, push-ass bitch. I couldn't do it.
Nah, man. And you know what's funny is the last few days I've been on a deep dive of watching Rob's podcast over. When I pulled up here, I stopped a podcast, one of Rob's podcasts.
Wow.
Just when I, stopped the car and came in the house, I was watching Rob. I've known Rob since I was 15 years old. Gone on trips with him. He's been always an amazing human to me. And funny side story, the first time I bought a car, I thought
side
I was balling.
Podcast side
bought
quest.
Me a Mercedes-Benz 3LK 320 when I was 18, somewhere in that, 17, 2002 it was, so 17. And he asked me, like, yo, and Rob's always been into a deal and into business. Like, what they charge you? What's up? And I told him, he knew the price of the car, everything. And I just leased it. And I was like, yeah, I put down 11 G's for the, and he's like, what the fuck? They fucked you, blah, blah, blah. And so the guy who was the, what do you call those guys when you,
The car salesman?
Not the salesman.
The broker?
The broker.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who was the broker.
Oh, he took some off the top.
Shout out my car guy, Aaron.
He always takes care of me.
Got me on my Maybach.
You know what I'm saying? Amen. It only cost me $900,000. No, I'm just kidding.
So the first car I ever bought, Mercedes-Benz, and I'm hanging out around Rob, Kareem Campbell, Chad Musk at this time. I'm trying to like...
Your first car was what?
A Mercedes-Benz 320, CLK 320.
Mine was a fucking Honda Civic.
I put down on a lease $11,000 and Rob like was like, yo, like called me, congratulated me on it. Like, yo, congrats, blah, 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 on the Mercedes. And I was like, oh, thanks, dude. He's like, he starts getting into the deal because he loves that shit. Like, what's up with the, would you pay for that? I was like, oh, you know, I can give him like $11,000. Here's my payment. It was like $550 or something. He's like, what the fuck? I'm like, what? He's like, that's some bullshit. So he called the broker, chewed the guy out. The guy called me back. I'm like, yo, man, super sorry. I talked to Rob, like, oh, and Rob really looked out for me. Like,
can we just talk about Rob stomping necks? Like fucking like the Irishman
no,
or
Rob
like,
is really a boss
casino?
Like that.
Like, can we just get Rob's face on like a guy?
Beat, so like,
you know, like Rob, like Ed Norton just curb stomp. Wait, what?
Yeah. Anyway. He really is a boss like that. And mark my words, bro. Out of the, I saw him from a pro skater, and I had the good fortune of being around him. I was young. I've seen him evolve too. I remember when he was telling us about Robin Big, and he was pitching it, and he was just like, you know, I'm just trying to. He was so clear on his goals, so clear on everything, and like, what's up, Rob? How you been? Like, you know, just out here trying to get rich and famous, and like, and like, and he was like, and he was like pitching in the MTV meetings, pitching the Robin Big thing. Shout out Big Black, rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P. For sure.
And he was pitching everything. And like, I saw it happen. I saw his intensity. I saw his fire. I saw it. I remember when he had his Mercedes-Benz E-Class, the VCR in the back, so he could watch skate videos VCR. On the way to the spot. Yeah, I was like, I thought that was the flyest shit ever. Yo. Rob will remember that. But anyway, so sorry, you got me fired up because I went on this last few days of just watching Rob podcast.
And have you gone on his podcast?
No. Why not? I haven't. I've been on Ridiculousness, but not on the podcast.
Yeah.
But like, I just.
Why not?
That's not my choice to make, you know?
What you mean? Why don't you fucking hit him up? You never hit him up? You never had your people hit him up? Do you want
to? I don't need people to hit him up. I could.
Do you want to be on his podcast?
Not yet. I'm not there yet.
What the fuck do you mean?
I'm not there yet, man. What does that mean?
I'm gonna fight your ass.
Means I'm not there. I love Rob to death. No, it's not.
I'm just kidding. What do you mean you're not there yet? Explain to me what that means.
I'm explaining now because I've seen where, like, how Rob, I know his parents, everything. I've been to Kettering, Ohio, everything. Like, I've seen him, like, I
doxed him.
Like, I've seen him grow up and everything. And like, to see who he is now, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I know this guy. And
wait,
I've
so
seen
you almost, do you
how
almost
he's done this.
Feel like
he's
you're so, like, be, you're almost like, I can't ask Rob Dyrdek.
No. Not that I feel
what
that
is
way.
It,
it's just because I know when I want to talk to Rob on that, I want to be able, when I'm at a point when I can bring something to the table.
What do you mean?
I'm not at a point.
So what you do on my podcast and you think you can't bring shit to the table? That's what you're saying.
If he asked me, of course,
you saying I ain't shit, P. Rob?
I'm not. If he asked me to be on the podcast, that's one thing. Of course, I would never deny Rob anything.
Look, I'm going
to
be honest.
If you asked me to be on, yes, I would never ask you to be on.
I don't even think he's thinking about it. I think he's thinking like, P. Rob, man, he's got fucking primitive. He's doing his thing.
I promise you that's not the case.
I bet you he is just like, I don't even want to bother this guy.
I promise you that's not the case. I know this guy.
I want to do it. How about this? Hey, fucking, what's his name? Rob Dyrdek. Listen to me.
No.
I want to be on your podcast, me. And if you don't let me on your podcast, I might fight you. But if this man ain't on your podcast, you're lame.
It'll happen. I love you, Rob.
Joke.
You know that. I know it's a
Rob,
joke.
We're drunk.
Rob's
a joke.
Rob's always done everything for me in my career. He's always put me on. Like when he had his board company Seek, he asked me to get on. I ended up getting on Girl. He wrote his first movie. He wrote me in as the star of Street Dreams.
Street Dreams.
When Street League first started, the contest series that he created, he brought me to his house and showed me the whole plan that he was pitching to build.
How was that?
It was amazing. He always like.
So he came to you and was like.
He was like,
yo. I got this idea for Street League. Those of you out there who don't know, who are listening and watching, Street League
first
is...
First league ever
Street League, like, shits on X Games, bro. Because it's literally just, like, it is real street skateboarding. And don't get me wrong, like, Vert is awesome. I look at Burnquist. I look at all these just immaculate, incredible guys. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Street league, that's my league. That's the guy, that's the average girl out there fucking skating, bro. Yeah. So to see y'all and then to bring like the illest guys and girls to this amazing stage, but for him to tell
that's his
you that.
Vision, it's his dream. He literally brought me to his house and he was like, he showed me on his laptop. I'll never forget, like, yo, this is my dream and everything. I was like, oh my God. Like, I was there when he first did his first pitch to build the first ever plaza in Kettering, Ohio. Like, every time he's done something, he had always, like, somehow incorporated me into it. So I'm like, I always will be forever grateful to him. Forever.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, so
I bet you
it's not that I wouldn't be on his pod. Of course I'd love to be on his pod. I love the guy to death. But I do look up to him a great deal. And so like
as you should.
I would never approach him in a way of like, yo, let me get on. Like
no,
I would only approach in a way of like if I felt like I had something to contribute.
Dude, first of all, you have so much to contribute. What did I say to you, Paul? I said, hey man, let me know if you want to come by and fuck around sometime.
Always.
But what I'm saying is you can say the same thing. Like, if you love Rob and you just be like, hey, Rob, I've been listening to your podcast. I fucking love it, man. Let me know if you ever need a guest. I'd happily be there. There's nothing wrong with
no,
that.
No, there's nothing wrong with it.
But
there
do you
nothing.
Think your ego won't let you? Or are you? Or is it more looking up to this guy exactly. like you don't want to bother him?
Yeah, in that way. Because well, I know how folksy, I know how he tracks his time. I know, I'm telling you, man, he's got the machine mindset.
Yeah, but he's not tracks, a man and who like, strikes me as so a I'm guy like, who only cares about...
No, that's he doesn't. He doesn't. And he's always, like I said, he's always shown me love forever. But I just feel like, you know, as somebody who's always showed love and always, I felt like he saw always potential in me. I was like, all right, well, you know, some people bloom later than others. I'll wait till maybe when I'm finally like,
bro, what do you mean you're Paul Rodriguez? You're skate LeBron. Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just going on a rant here.
What do you mean? Who's like a motherfucker from the 70s who's a really good basketball player? Because I don't know
Dr.
shit.
Dr. J.
Okay, whoever the fuck that is, that's Tony Hawk. You're LeBron James. Okay.
I appreciate it, but like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what
I'd suck your average size dick right now. Like,
no, man. I said I grew into it, man. Right. Give me some credit.
Oh,
I grew
up. Okay, shit. All right.
Grew up, man. Anyway.
No, but real talk, with all that being said, I hear the reference that you have towards Rob, and I think we'll leave it at that. I think Rob, if you're listening to this, because everybody in skateboarding is listening to this right now.
Hopefully.
Not hopefully, goddammit. Logic and Paul Rodriguez, you fucking better believe everybody.
You know we're gonna make it when Joe Budden starts fucking talking shit on me for saying what I said.
Yeah,
so
you're not
then
wrong.
We really made it.
Yeah, I know. But let me just say, Rob is somebody who, man, that's another guy when I was just a kid watching DC fucking skate videos. Like he inspired me and
Dude, I used to have a G-Wagon back in the day. Guess who I
You're
took
so
over the
rich.
Lease from? Guess who
about?
I took over the lease from?
Rob. You took his lease?
Rob sold me his G-Wagon.
How does that even happen? But wait, did he fuck you like your broker?
Nah.
Okay.
No. He always nothing but love.
You're so annoyingly handsome. Like, I'm looking at you, and then I'm looking at me, and I'm like, ugh.
You know what's fucked up,
Look
man?
At you. Look at you. Ugh.
I appreciate
you. Look like you look like you definitely got a good 6.5 inches.
At least. On a good day. No, I'm just kidding.
I love this guy. Can I just say how much like I'm happy that we're friends?
I'm so happy we're friends. This is so cool.
It's so cool.
I got a fucking really famous friend. That's really
I got
cool.
a really famous fucking friend. What do you mean?
That's really cool.
You be
man.
Acting like he be wild. We just need a scissor and get over with. You know? Are you familiar with this term scissoring?
What, this?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about. Listen, everybody at home, just listen to this. That's me and Paul scissoring right now. Is there anything, like, real talk that you'd like to... I mean, because I feel like I got a really, really fun... I think there's so much more that I can know about you. And I think I will on another episode. But I think this is a really incredible introduction into the heart and the soul that is Paul Rodriguez. Is there anything you'd like to leave our viewers and our listeners with?
Well, just as always, thank you. Appreciate y'all. Sending love to y'all. Much love. God bless. And thank you. I appreciate you. Appreciate you as a friend. Appreciate
you,
on this.
I love you
back. And I appreciate just this whole experience. This is cool. I can't believe. I look at it, I was like, where you came from and how hard you worked and everything, and where I came from, how hard I worked, everything. Somehow those trajectories brought us together. Like
that's like really interesting how life works.
I mean, you love rap and I love skateboarding.
I love rap, bro. I want to bro down with you more on rap.
I want to fucking bro down with you.
I'm a rap connoisseur to a degree. Obviously, not in your way.
I told you about how when I met Jay-Z and you started creaming.
But
in
you
my
never
face.
Got to fucking, you never actually told me the story.
Oh, I did?
No, we were leaving Mastro's and we were on our way to Soho in the Maybach. In the Maybach. Oh, and he got the people at Mastro's to let me keep my let my car be at the parking lot overnight. And we got in the Maybach and we were leaving Mastro's. And you're like, oh, I'm going to tell you my Jay-Z story and my Nas story, how he almost signed me, which then right away came out on the internet like 2 days later. But you were like, yo, let me, I'm gonna tell you my Jay-Z story, my Nas, how he almost signed me story once we get to Soho. And then we got into Soho, or we got in the Maybach, you started playing me College Park, and we were on our way there.
Oh, and that was like before it came out, right?
Yeah, wow. And by the time we got to Soho, we got on a total another subject and never got to it.
All right, well, let's end this podcast with, I'm the shit. No, I'm just kidding. I was in New York City at Legacy Records Grammy weekend. I'm nominated for 2 Grammys.
Oh, you just told me this the other day. Yeah, okay, never mind.
So I told you.
Well, now you told me the other day when we were up here, like when him and Bae came in the room.
I don't gotta tell them.
No, tell them.
All right, so anyway, I'm the shit. No, I'm just
kidding. You did tell me that.
I'm in New York City, Grammy weekend. Okay. I'm nominated for 2 Grammys. Record of the year. I'm at this spot called Legacy Records. Which Jessica Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld's wife.
This is making me more jealous. You're telling me a Jay-Z story, then you're going to go into fucking Seinfeld. Like,
I was at Seinfeld's crib, and I'm hanging out with his wife and daughter, and they're so nice. And then Jessica Seinfeld is like, you got to go to Legacy Records. Because I told her, I was like, I want to go to Peter Luger, which is like a really fire steakhouse. Mm. And she was like, fuck that. It's full of old white men. And I was like, love you. My security guard walks in and he just throws up the like Hova sign, like the diamond, like the Rockefeller sign. And he just mouths, Jay-Z. And it literally, I'm like, what the fuck could that possibly? Oh my God, there's Jay-Z and Beyonce. And they walk in and I just get up immediately. I like get up and I'm like, brother, what's good? And I dap him and I'm like, oh my God, that's Jay-Z. Like in my mind, I'm like, yo, it's Jay-Z. I'm like, yo, this hand hasn't written a word because he doesn't write his lyrics down. This is amazing. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, it's B. Yeah. So I'm like, oh shit. And then I go and I hug Beyonce. I feel like I'm like hugging the president and the president. She ain't no first lady. It's the president and the president. It's 2 presidents coming. So anyway, don't leave me. Not yet. I'm going to say goodbye. So I meet them and they're super nice, dude. Like Beyonce is like just so sweet. And she's like, dude, she's like, you know, your music is great, but this record in specific, it's just really reaching a lot of people. And Jay-Z's like, yo, keep shit up, man. And then that very same weekend, I actually did a specific show and where Jay-Z was at, it was a private event. And I raised a glass to Jay-Z and everyone toasted him and I thanked him. I said, from Reasonable Doubt to 44, excuse me, from Reasonable Doubt to 444, you were there for me when my father never was. Thank you. And I toasted to him. So let me toast to you. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. I appreciate you. I value you as a friend, as a human being. I don't take a single word that you said here for granted. I thank you. And I'm just really excited to know you. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with here today?
No, I feel the same sentiment. I appreciate you. I feel like I've met a new brother. Mm. And I'm really grateful to vibe with you. And I appreciate you bringing me on and let me talk my shit. And, you know,
I hope you'll come back.
We'll see. Call my people. All right, can see cool. What happens. You know, talk to my people. Right. But, you know.
I'm going to go stop Rob Dyrdek. I love it.
Love you, bro.
Oh, that was really awkward.
We're not that awkward in real life. We're homies. We're gonna watch 500 Days of Summer together. It's all good.
Why'd you end the hug though?
Oh, it was like a half. Well, you didn't even really commit to the hug. Mm. So, like, you know.
Oof. Damn, you got the dad bod right there. You got that bitch tit.
That's the man tit.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Logically Speaking. Please make sure you click the link and check out more things. Don't forget to subscribe. All those things like that. Don't forget. Peace.